pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Vito. Good to be here, as always.
Hey, it's nice to be here as well, and today is National Purple Heart Day, so if you have a relative, a family member, a loved one who served in the United States military and earned and was awarded a Purple Heart, keep them in your thoughts and prayers today, and keep any and every of our Purple Heart recipients in your thoughts and prayers, and say a big thought and prayer to my pop. He was a Purple Heart recipient, and he earned his Purple Heart. Bled for it, too. Good evening to Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. I'll get to you in a sec. Back to you in a second. Ducky Northwest, nice to see you. Gulf Dogs, HOV Radio, nice to see your dogs. And, of course, Sue from New Mexico. And want to say hello to everybody out there in podcast land. Thank you for joining me and Al this evening. We'll be here for the next 2 hours and certainly going to be hopefully thought-provoking and entertaining and informative as well. I want to give a shout-out to bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, our friend Bigfoot. You should follow his blogspot. It's fantastic. It's great. And Big has been on the travels in undisclosed locations, and he's provided photos of his stops and his travels. And they are quite interesting, I got to say. And I had no idea that there was that much, activity with archaeological digs in the United States and some interesting things in Wisconsin, Aslalon State Park near Lake Mills, Wisconsin has an interesting, stockade, so to speak. He shared some pictures with that, and today's picture is Man Mound National Historic Landmark. Today I visited two places nearby undisclosed location in Wisconsin, one of which was included on my archaeological tour in 2014, northeast of Baraboo, Wisconsin, is Man Mound, an earthwork built by Native Americans sometime between 750 and 1200 AD. The mound is now the main feature of a park having the same name. It was designated as a National Historic Landmark, which happened after my first visit. So we could thank Big for that one, I think. The park has a small gravel parking lot, which is not yet present nine years ago. I'm sure that some people of Man Mound Road did not appreciate having it partially blocked by a tour bus. If you drive down Man Mound Road today, you'll see the Man Mound sign. So I encourage you to go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. Big does a fantastic job every day, 7 days a week, even when he's traveling. There's some great stories in there, there's a story in the Washington Free Beacon that prompted today's discussion. So once again, Bigfoot provides a thought-provoking blog. So check it out. Al, how was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Played some golf. Shot okay. Broke 80. Had my course low, 77. and then promptly shot an 87 the next day. So that is golf.
Well, nice 77. That's fantastic, man. That was great. So congratulations. Very, very good shooting.
How was your weekend?
Good. Yep, it was busy. I did play a little golf on Friday afternoon. It was freaking hot. Played a little. I walked 18 this morning, which was nice. I felt good about that. Shot even par. So
very nice.
It was all right. My putting is not as good as Lucas Glover's right now. So I'd be shooting.
No, is he hot or what? That was a good
Man.
Tournament this weekend.
Yes, this past weekend was the Wyndham, and it was at the Wyndham, I should say. And I came down Sunday to Billy Horschel and Lucas Glover and Russell Henley with Ben Ahn kind of lurking behind. And in the end, and it was a little bit of a delay, but in the end, Lucas Glover pulled it out, winning by two shots over Russell Henley and Ben Ahn at 20 under par to notch his fifth PGA Tour victory, his second this year, which he found a putter, and he found a putting style, and it's really provided him a lot of confidence. And they showed a picture of him under his old stroke with the new, and now with his new putter, and you can tell it's night and day. Billy Horschel faded. He was tied to the lead going into Sunday. The best he could do was shoot a 1 over 72, and he ended up in fourth place by himself, shot a 2 over round. So too bad for Billy, but he played good. He shot a 62 on Friday, a 63 on Saturday, and just kind of puked on Sunday. So Lucas Glover notches his fifth PGA Tour victory, and that's important because the FedEx Cup Championship starts this coming week. In Memphis, and so it should be an interesting time, as they say.
Oh, yeah. And the FedEx is the big of the bigs. So every player on tour is trying to get into the FedEx. You've got to make a cut to get in. So there's a lot of jockeying for positions and a lot of luck and a lot of people on the line. So keep watching that. Oh, and did you see Charlie Hoffman's Albatross? An albatross is on a par 5 where you hit your drive. In this case, Charlie Hoffman hit his drive on a par 5, which is a very long hole. He was 192 yards in. Well, he took his second shot from 192 out and put it in the hole, and that is called an albatross. When you make a par 5 and two shots, and they're very rare and quite exciting to watch. So kudos to Charlie Hoffman.
Yeah, and to show you how tough it is, that was only the second one this year on the PGA Tour, the second albatross. So congrats. Yeah, that was really cool, man. It was like I thought it was like 150 yards out the way that ball just rolled in. So that was really cool. On the LPGA Tour, a lady that is on a roll. I mean, how impressive is this? They had the Scottish Open, the Ladies Scottish Open, the Women's Scottish Open, excuse me, in Scotland. And last week at the Evian Championship, which is a major for the ladies, Céline Boutier won in her home country of France. Well, this year, Céline Boutier was going into the final round, it tied for the lead, I believe, and she ends up winning by two strokes. She wins back-to-back, two impressive courses that she won on. This lady is finding her being, I guess you can say, and she is becoming a force to be reckoned with. She notched her fifth LPGA Tour victory and her second in a week. I mean, so she wins two tournaments this year back-to-back. Really and truly impressive. She is playing some golf, and she's only 5 foot tall. Oh, my God. It's amazing. this lady is really knocking the socks off. And so congratulations to Céline Boutier of France. And she's a product of Duke University as well. So
I tell you, I like watching the LPGA play. I like watching the women play because their swings they're almost just a second slower than the men, but you can watch their swing and you get a feel of how well that they hit the ball. So if you're mm-hmm. watching the game, if you're just now getting into golf, watch the LPGA because you can get a taste of how these girls swing. Because it's a little bit slower and it's easier to watch, and you'll learn a lot. It's pretty exciting. And, did you see Bryson DeChambeau shot a 58 in the final round, which was a course low for him. Now, 58 is pretty outstanding. If you figure it's a par 72, that's roughly 14 birdies out of 18 holes. It's an unbelievably low score, so kudos to Bryson DeChambeau for that feat.
His feet? His feet. What?
Feet don't fail me now. I just shot a 58, so screw you.
Did he win?
He did win, actually. I couldn't give you the details on it, but yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Good for him. And let's see, the U.S. women's soccer, go woke. And go home, go broke. U.S. women's soccer, they lost to Sweden on a penalty kick, and it's always fitting that the anti-American Megan Rapinoe missed the penalty kick, and she missed it pretty badly. For someone who's a seasoned hater, I'm a seasoned veteran, I'm surprised that she couldn't make a better kick. And certainly, you know what, listen, it could happen to anybody, but you know what, it's fitting it happened to her. She has contempt for the United States of America, but she's profited handsomely being on the women's soccer. And this is her last hurrah, so goodbye, good riddance, don't let the door hit you on the way out. And it was a terrible kick, by the way, Megan, so I hope you feel like shit.
No, she was crying like a little, use the other B word.
Well.
She was crying like a, and,
well,
and you're right. She hates America. She hates everything that we stand for. She hates our constant. She's just a nasty person. So, and I don't usually say this about athletes when they fail, but like you, I was happy I wasn't happy for women, for the team. But for her to experience such humiliation brought me joy.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make me a small person? Well, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either. I'm with you on that one, Al. You know, it's one thing, it's just like Brittany Griner. It took her to be incarcerated for 9 months in a communist country for her to realize that the United States of America is not the ill country that we are made out to be by the left wing, and these left wing with this identity politics cancer, they can just they have it wrong about the United States, but that's what the liberals want, that's what the Marxists want. They want that division, and sadly, while we're not rooting for America's sports teams to fail. When somebody like a Rapinoe who has contempt for the United States of America blows it, you don't feel bad for her. I don't feel bad. It was an awful kick. It was a terrible kick for a seasoned veteran, and she could have performed better, and she didn't. And we'll see how she now profits from, this identity Marxist movement that's out there. So screw her.
And kudos to and one more. We got kudos in the Indy, the world of Indy racing. Kyle Kirkwood won the Music City Grand Prix in Nashville, Tennessee. I don't know if you watched any of it, but boy, that was one exciting race. Oh, that open car racing blows NASCAR away.
You like that, huh?
I do.
Yeah. nothing wrong with that. You know what? You know, we've been through a couple of races together, and, you know, it's I agree, you know.
Well, hell, NASCAR even went a little woke. I don't know if you heard this story, but NASCAR suspended driver Noah Gragson for liking a George Floyd meme. That means on Twitter, he hit liked, and it was a George Floyd meme, and he got suspended for it.
Well, you know, that seems to be the way with the intolerant left wing. And so while you're talking about that, there was a professor of Thomas Jefferson University. I had it up on my screen and it's gone, but it was at the Gateway Pundit. And apparently this particular was it the chancellor? Oh, here we go. The university, Thomas Jefferson University president steps down after liking tweets critical of COVID vaccines and gender-affirming surgeries. Imagine, okay, now free speech, I guess it only applies in one direction, and that's if you're a hater. If you're a member of the woke community in the United States of America, you're free to say and believe anything you'd like, including forced vaccinations, vaccination mandates, vaccination passports, and the vaccination death jab. But if you're an individual who, like a scholarly individual who decides that you don't like this method, and you actually like tweets that are critical of COVID vaccine, it's intolerable in the university, the college, and the university system, so much so that Thomas Jefferson University President Mark Tykoinski, okay, resigned as school president this week after liking tweets on Twitter that went against acceptable thought at the university. And that's the problem, acceptable thought at the university. Now, you can berate Trump. You can say bad things about Republicans. You can even denigrate, you know, the flag of the United States and come up with this crap of Juneteenth and whatever else that this woke system believes in. But the minute that you go against the thought of the university, your history. The 70-year-old university president made the mistake of liking tweets critical of coronavirus vaccine, gender-affirming surgery, and college diversity, equity, and inclusion offices. These thoughts are not acceptable at Thomas Jefferson University.
Hold on.
Yes, go ahead.
What was that again? Equity something something department? That was a whole mouthful.
Yes.
Can you repeat that again? Made my head scramble.
Yes. So he liked tweets critical of college diversity, equity, and inclusion offices. So Thomas Jefferson University is not anything – they're not inclusive, they're not diverse, and there's certainly no equity by having their president, university president, fired – I'm sorry, resigned because of his thought that was not in the thinking in the realm of the college's diversity, equity, and inclusion.
So it seems like there's only inclusion and equity if you're a Marxist, Democrat, liberal, but if you're conservative, like me, for instance, I'm excluded from everything. That doesn't seem very equitable.
Yeah, it's almost like the UN Resolution 1618 by the OIC that talks about combating intolerance, you know, this diversity, equity, and inclusion. And, you know, in May, I'm going to get this gentleman's name right, the professor's name right, Tykoinski, that's it. So in May, he apologized after coming under fire for liking tweets critical of vaccine gender affirmation surgery and college diversity, equity, and inclusion offices. And he resigns, has to resign. And the left is tolerant. There's nothing about diversity. There's nothing about equity. There's certainly nothing about inclusion when it comes to the left wing in the United States of America any longer. They espouse the Marxist principles of exclusion. There are two sets of standards and laws in the United States, and the left espouses the radical anti-American, anti-constitutional thought process. Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, huh?
Yeah, I tell you, it's one thing to disagree, which is okay. People can disagree all day long. But they essentially took away his sole means of employment to feed his family. That's evil. Just because they have a difference of opinion. That is evil. Now, we conservatives, we believe in free speech. We believe in free speech and to protect speech that people don't like. That's the whole point of it. And then these Marxists, they go ahead and get this guy fired and ruin his livelihood. Now he's got to go find another job in midlife. Imagine having to go through that.
So.
70. All right, well, he's getting towards his end of life, but, you know, whatever. You don't take away somebody's means of a livelihood and means of living. And at 70, if that was his only income, what the hell is he going to do now? Social Security doesn't give you enough money to survive.
Especially where, you know, universities and colleges are supposed to be that institution for thought and provoke thought. And, you know, the one thing about speech, it's not meant to be speech that you agree with, but speech that you disagree with. And, you know, you can have your own thought process. He wasn't endorsing, you know, terrorism it wasn't like an imama who calls for the obliteration of the United States of America. He was just talking about or agreeing with the coronavirus vaccine, the criticism of it, and rightly so. There are young people in America who are dying. There are middle-aged Americans who are dying from the jab, and they're not. Our government has not been honest about it. And the very medical professionals who have the audacity to go against the grain of the establishment, they're ostracized from society. Dr. Robert Maloney comes to mind immediately. And he's been proven right.
As have we.
As have we. That is correct. That is correct.
Now, equity and inclusion also involves sports, or so they say, because there's a female impersonator whose name is William Thomas, who goes by Leah Thomas, who's been in the news quite a bit over this last year. Well, William Thomas, the female impersonator, pretends that he is a woman and competes in women's swimming. Well, Riley Gaines is a biological female swimmer, and she's been very outspoken calling out William Thomas as the female impersonator that he is. And her latest comment about William Thomas is that as a woman, he is extremely well endowed, according to Riley Gaines. She said, it was hard for her not to look away in the locker room. So he is in a locker room, a women's locker room, with his junk hanging out. Did you think we'd be talking about this 10 years ago? I didn't in a million years. I never thought that I would have to tell that story or anything closely resembling it ever. And yes, he is a female impersonator, and all these transgender a-holes, I don't care. They're female men pretending to be women are female impersonators, and women trying to be men are male impersonators. And they're fakes, and all they're doing is, as far as women are concerned, they're mocking women. Where are the feminists? The feminists should be furious at these men for ridiculing and mocking their femininity. But they're silent because they're part, because it's a whole Marxist, communist movement. There you go.
But you see, this is why, no, very well stated. This is why the left came up with the whole equity, inclusion, and diversity moniker. Okay, now when you come up with that kind of a slogan, you're talking about a cross-dressing male, okay, now identifying as a female. That's diversity, right? So that would fall into that diversity title. So maybe that's where that was the whole plan all along when the Marxists came up with this whole new cliche, equity, inclusion, and diversity. They were actually thinking about the cross-dressing males who now identify as females and are basically stealing women's identities, but all in the name of diversity, right?
Yeah. and it tears apart the fabric of our culture. Even though these male and female impersonators are a very small percentage of the population, they're tearing apart our culture because we are a culture of family first, men and women marriage, and just that's how you procreate and you make kids, and that's how generations go on from generation to generation. It's a biological thing. And that if the Marxists and the communists and the enemies of the United States of America can destroy our culture from within, they are essentially, it's a tactic of war by the Chinese to soften the battlefield of America, because one day we are going to be at war with China, and there's a couple of stories we'll talk about later that validate that claim. So there's a lot going on here. We got a lot of sports and society colliding in a very not good way.
So, you know what? I just had an epiphany. So, in the last 930 days, we've been conditioned with this whole transgender movement. So, is this just kind of a way to break the ice from Michelle Obama to come out of the closet? Okay. So, I said it. I know people out there thinking it.
I've seen a lot of stories about that, serious stories that have been popping up all over. In fact, it's been popping up for years. But how does that stay secret?
Well,
I don't know. Seriously, something like that. Yeah,
Hank.
I don't know.
If you listen to Hank Jones' show on Wednesday, and he had a special 30-minute hankerings this past Thursday, what was interesting Hank now is an expert on paddleboarding, okay? And you heard that the chef, the Obama chef at their waterfront estate, not this vineyard, died. He drowned while paddleboarding.
Right.
And at the very end, the very end of Thursday's hankerings, Hank said, made mention of something which is really, really very interesting. There has been no mention by the media, there have been no questions asked by the media, who the person was with the cook who drowned that evening, okay, in 8 feet of water. And Hank's boss mentioned that, you know, he believes that it was one of the Obama's daughters that was with that chef. But, you know, this is what leads to speculation and conspiracy. Now, if this had been Trump's cook who drowned out of, you know, his Florida compound, there would have been so many questions like, who was with them? What are their names? What's your social security number? Where are they from? Where were they born? How many kids? Who are they with? What happened? Why? And they would have pulled a full dossier on it. But since it's Barack Hussein, Satoru, or Obama, and Obama is a Democrat, a left-winger, and an anti-American, the U.S. media, which is basically subservient to the Democrat National Committee, it's all hands are off. There are no questions asked. You know, how is it that Obama's daughter shows up in a video, okay, with Hunter Biden? They're doing drugs. It's on Hunter Biden's laptop, and there's no questions. There's no inquisition. There's no outrage. Okay. First of all, was she underage? It doesn't matter. Even if she was underage, how about how young she was? And now she is being, you know, she's with Hunter Biden doing drugs. So you have the first daughter with the first son is out there and they're doing drugs and they're both scantily dressed, virtually nude. Okay. And there's no questions. Now, fast forward to Martha's Vineyard, okay, and a cook dies, he drowns, and there's no questions. I mean, it's now part of E6 news, and now we're talking about Trump, so the distraction becomes further becomes Trump, 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 okay, and all this, all the establishment surrogates come out, and they all start opining their expertise, okay. In the meantime, all these questions remain unanswered about this cook dying, okay, at the Obama's compound. As a matter of fact, we're not even told where the Obamas were. So I think a really good question is, was one of the daughters, okay, involved with this cook, and that was the witness who called 911, and why didn't the Secret Service, who were dispatched, why didn't they go in and try to save the guy? Huh?
Yeah, the Secret Service would have been there right next to her. They would have been there anyway, sure. Right next to her, because they shadow them for life.
There's so much corruption, and there's so many questions that lead to this conspiracy theories, which then, you know, after time goes by, the truth starts slowly, you know, coming out, but. You know, like you said, how is this continually suppressed? And yet every 5 minutes, there's a new revelation about Donald Trump created by the deep state, created by these anti-Americans who despise our constitutional republic.
Yeah.
And this weekend was no exception to that.
Yeah. And look at this latest indictment. This latest indictment with the January 6th events, they just had 2 years of hearings on January 6th, and now they're pulling it out. They're still continuing it now. What, they wasted 2 years, and nothing was found. This is probably, the fourth or fifth indictment against Trump. Meanwhile, with the files and the top secret documents, President Biden had him all over the place in four or five different locations, even in his unsecured garage, but that is silent. You don't ever hear anything about that. And then you've got the DOJ, which happened this past week. You've got the DOJ and the FBI going after Hunter Biden with charges that were misdemeanors. But it was a deal set up between the FBI and between the prosecutor and the DOJ to get Hunter Biden off, rather than the DOJ going for the jugular. They both colluded to get them off, and the only thing that it was so egregious and so beyond the pale of legal precedent that the judge didn't put her rubber stamp on it. She said, no, you got to come back. So now they got to go back to the table and collude again and do it a little better this time before they can get Hunter Biden off. And there's been no stories or virtually zero follow-up of that story, which is infinitely interesting when you get into it, because it involves the rule of law and the DOJ, who could literally throw any of us into jail, make up charges, and we're going down, and there's nothing we could do to stop it. So whatever's happening to Trump could be happening to any of us.
You want to take Hank? Hank's on the phone right now. You want to take a real quick call with Hank?
Oh, heck yeah.
All right. Good evening, Hank. How you doing?
Good, guys.
Mama, you
nailed it. You nailed the one part of it that I was wondering about, and I've talked about it, and I never connected it all the way. And as I said, it was my boss that said he assumed it was one of Obama's daughters, which would explain why there was a Secret Service person there. If it was one of Obama's daughters, that would explain Secret Service being there. it wouldn't explain Secret Service
yes.
being there with a staffer and a chef, but with the daughter, hell yes, that totally explains it.
Okay, so Hank, that means that the story's going to change one more time with the Obamas. I bet then, now it's coming out that the Secret Service is there due to protecting the daughters, then I guess the story's going to change that the Obamas were at the Martha's Vineyard, but they were out to dinner or something.
Well, I think that's the whole point, is that the way they say they weren't home at the time, I think they were probably having cocktails over with one of the Kennedys or something. I don't know what they do at Martha's Vineyard. I'm really at a loss because I've never been. I have no desire. But yeah, it does. My guess is I'm not even sure though, Vito. Well, do you really think they'll come out and just say it was one of the Obama daughters? I don't know. I think they might just say they
no.
were Secret Service
no.
Secret Service staff on site.
Yeah, they won't. I mean, first of all, there's nothing that's transparent about the left, nor Obama or the Bidens. There's nothing transparent about it. They have something to hide, and that also continues to lead to speculation. And you have to wonder if it's the same daughter who was involved with Hunter Biden. They have a little bit of problem with this daughter. So, the truth, it won't come out. They're hiding something. Obama's hid something from the very beginning. He's a snarky, sneaky little shit, and he's a snarky, sneaky anti-American. Let's put it that way. So we won't know the
yeah.
truth. I don't
yeah.
think.
Right.
Well,
did you see the
like,
latest?
It's not, like
this,
it's not like the Secret Service would hide a bag of coke and then suddenly destroy evidence and not find any fingerprints. Nothing like that could happen.
Never. Well, it's like somebody said, they can find everybody that ever showed up in Washington on January 6th. I mean, people that were just showed up and left. There, I mean, somehow facial recognition has pulled them out, and people are having their employers, question and stuff, and losing jobs over that. But they can't find a bag. It's sin.
Yeah,
it's sick.
Something is wrong in this whole thing. Very, very
yeah.
much so, and it's
yeah.
sad.
What were you saying before I interrupted you?
Well, that's
Hank?
What I was going to say. I mean, they're able to find all this stuff. They find everybody that has shown up at January 6th. They can't find a bag. Who dropped a bag of cocaine? The Secret Service, as you said, will hide that. But that totally explains to me. It totally clears up to me. That's why they would be there. But I mean, that's why I asked Dan Bongino on a tweet, would the Secret Service be there for a staffer? And if the Obamas weren't home, why would they be there? I mean, it's, that home security is not the Secret Service's thing. You got ADT for that, so to speak. Those guys are concerned with, where the dog is or whatever, I would think, anyway, I would hope. So, yeah, that really puts it in perspective if, yeah, that's why a Secret Service agent would be there, because one of the Obama daughters was one of the ones there.
And why the story's been spiked by the U.S. media. That's it.
I don't think they know what questions to ask, though. That's part of it. I mean, you got to remember, as Brother Tommy said one time, most of these journalist types, the vengeful journalists, are guys that got bike racks, beat the crap out of them in middle school, high school. They throw like girls, that kind of shit. So they don't know. Those dudes have never – they've sat – when they say they're going paddleboarding, as an example, they're sitting in a Starbucks watching people paddleboard. That to them is the act – so that's – I just don't think they know to ask those questions. I really –
No,
I don't think they understand the whole leash thing and the PFD.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you from one standpoint. When it comes to the media, the U.S. media that's controlled by the DNC, they can ask every question as to where you were, who was with you, why aren't you telling us, why aren't you telling us, why aren't you telling us. They want to know the individual's name, and yet now all of a sudden they go deaf, dumb, and silent when it comes to a scandal, a potential scandal with the concerning the Obamas at the Obamas' house, and we've gotten three different or four different stories, I think you said, concerning where the Obamas were. So,
well, we had,
you know,
so we
sorry,
have conflicting stories on whether the guy could swim.
Yeah. That's right.
So, you know, I guess I don't understand. I also don't – have you seen anything? I've looked in enough places. Did they recover the paddleboard? You know, I've not seen that.
Don't know.
They didn't say did they recover? You know, in other words, we located the paddleboard and then found the body. But it's nothing like that. He was found in 8 feet of water. Where was the paddleboard? You know?
You know what? I think it was – I think – wait a minute. I think that DeSantis illegal migrants might have stolen it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, they were coming. No, they come in on those things. They don't take out. They don't go out on those. They come in on paddleboards from the Mariel boat lift and whatnot. Yeah, they were the first paddleboarders. We didn't know that, but they were actually the first paddleboarders, like the Cubans, coming here to Miami. They were.
Well, Hank,
so,
you got a show coming up on Wednesday at 6 o'clock p.m., correct?
Correctamundo. Going to be talking a lot about college football coming up with all the craziness in the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and the Big 10. And so.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, man. Well,
Sounds good. Thank you
for calling in, and have a nice evening.
Thanks. You guys, too. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right, Hank.
May the story of Tafari Campbell one day be told. That poor guy.
Yeah, you know, Hank brought up some good stuff. It's worthy. He's got a 30-minute show from Thursday. It's called Hankerings, and he discusses or talks about. And if anybody knows paddleboarding, it's Hank, and he's not a neophyte when it comes to the subject. So I'd encourage you to listen to it. It did provoke thought, and it did raise some questions. And the ending is, like, perfect. I'm not going to give out the ending, so you got to listen to it.
AP News had a story that I just found that claiming that Obama's family's personal chef had been writing a tell-all book when he was found dead with injuries to his head.
Jeez.
That I didn't know.
No one saw that coming, did you?
And according to AP, he was found injuries to his head in less than 4 feet of water. The 9/11 call also didn't go out until his body washed up on shore and Obama's personal coroner conducted the autopsy. Who has a personal coroner? Do you? What's your personal coroner's name? I mean, Hillary, I could understand. Yeah. I can understand the Clintons having one, but who the hell has a personal coroner?
He died of toxic shock from being stung by a jellyfish. That would be the official. Oh, my God. You see, you know what? We laugh about it. You know, sadly, this gentleman is dead. If, in fact, it's true he was writing a tell-all book, you do it at your own taking your life into your own hands, because you certainly think if you're going to go that 15 minutes of fame, you know, when it comes to the Clintons and the Obamas, you're going to end up dead.
Apparently, because there's a video that went out. It goes on to claim that no one called 9/11 or 911 for hours until the 45-year-old Virginian, the chef's resident's body, was washed up on shore, and that Obama's own personal coroner was being flown from Washington, D.C. to conduct the autopsy. That's the actual update to the case, the man in the video clip claims, and you wonder why we see conspiracy and everything is because everybody's lying. That's why. But almost nothing reported as fact in the Post is accurate.
Disgusting.
Because they said there's no indication. Yeah, they said there's no indication that Campbell was developing a book. The claim can be traced back to a Twitter account known to spread misinformation, which claimed without evidence on July 4th that he was preparing a tell-all. Well, now we have motive.
So,
We have opportunity.
Yep.
We have a location.
And
we have a blunt instrument to the head. Hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm.
Mm.
So, speaking of homes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No,
we
go
have
on.
Another. We have a story now. Before we go to the main topic, but this one caught my ire, and maybe it had you as well. But I was reading on Thursday. I was at bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, and I decided, I'm going to go to. Sorry. That's our main topic. I apologize on that one. On Sunday, the Trump lawyer John Morrow was making his rounds on the U.S. Media, the DNC's U.S. media outlets, and one of the stops was the DNC CNN with Dana Bash. And Dana Bash, she is unabashed, and she tries to act as if she's the arbiter of truth, and the arbiter of truth that was the left-wing way. And she was challenging, okay? She decided she was going to challenge John Morrow, and she was going to insert her bias. And she was going to insert her own opinions, okay? And this is why I had disagreed with Hank with regards to asking questions, because if you watch just a 12-minute clip of Dana Bash interview, so to speak, with John Morrow, it'll make you sick. And the media continues to run cover, okay, for the Biden-Harris regime. They run cover for the Department of Justice under the tyrannical government, as we're seeing it, of the Biden-Harris regime and the handlers, because Joe Biden is not smart enough to do this by himself. He's not mentally fit enough to do it by himself. So Dana Bash didn't like the answers to the questions. And she didn't like the questions that John Morrow, attorney for President Trump, was coming back with, because Dana Bash was trying to get the DNC talking points in there, because they're an investigative journalist. So Dana Bash wants you to think. And yes, I was extremely put out by Dana Bash's assertions and claims, by the way. And one of the claims is how Dana Bash decides to rewrite the government hierarchy, especially when it comes to within the White House. So let's get something straight right now, okay? Under the White House, if you go to whitehouse.gov, okay, and you look at the executive branch of government, and you look at who or what departments come under the executive branch of government, it includes the president, the vice president, the executive offices of the president, and these are the handlers who are actually running the show, because Joe Biden is too stupid to do so. He's mentally unfit to do so. He's the perfect chimpanzee to put out front and center, who is basically brain dead, who has no principles. Okay, so that's my bashing of Joe Biden. But go to the website, and you'll see that the power of the executive branch is vested in the president of the United States, who also acts as head of state and commander-in-chief of the armed forces, which is a sickening thought, frightening thought, actually. The president is responsible for implementing and enforcing the laws written by Congress. To that end, appoints the heads of federal agencies, including the cabinet. The vice president is also part of the executive branch when she's not cackling, ready to assume the presidency, God forbid, should the need arise. The cabinet and independent federal agencies are responsible for the day-to-day enforcement and administration of federal laws. These departments and agencies have missions, responsibility as widely divergent as those of the Department of Defense and the Environmental Protection Agency, with the, with the phony climate con game that's going on, the Social Security Administration and the Securities Exchange Commission. Including members of the armed forces, the executive branch employs more than 4 million Americans. Now, if you go through the hierarchy of the executive branch, you go down, you see the cabinet, and it goes through all the cabinet positions, the Department of Agriculture, Commerce, Defense, Education, Energy, Department of Human Health, Health and Human Services, the Department of Useless, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Housing, Urban Development, Interior Justice. Oh, wait a minute. Vito, go back to the Justice. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. The Department of Justice. Huh? Oh, my goodness. The Department of Justice comes under the purview of the White House, of the executive branch. You see, Dana Bash decided that she was going to rewrite who the DOJ, who the Attorney General reports to. Now, President Trump's attorney, John Lauro, was talking about the DOJ and the fact that it's the Biden administration's DOJ. And he's absolutely 100% correct. And to show that the fix is in, okay, when you listen to the CNN, the DNC CNN, Dana Bash, who tries to rewrite the hierarchy of our government, one, to run cover for Joe Biden and the illicit activities, the underhanded activities, the corruption that's emanating from the executive branch, from the White House, from the Office of the Presidency, who is targeting a political opponent. Now, don't tell me that Joe Biden and his handlers are not targeting a political opponent. Because if you remember, you go back to 2019, Joe Biden had diarrhea of the mouth. And Joe Biden stated that he, along with Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, withheld a $1 million loan guarantee unless a special prosecutor was fired. That was Joe Biden's own words. And what did Nancy Pelosi do as Speaker of the House? When President Trump made the call to Zelensky, President of Ukraine, to find out what Joe Biden was actually withholding, Nancy Pelosi made the statement that President Trump was going after a political opponent, and there was no declared candidacy on the part of Joe Biden. Joe Biden was a former vice president, and that was it. He was not running for president. He did not declare his candidacy for president. His handlers didn't have time to put that together. Here's Joe Biden.
Tonight there's some troublesome news for Joe Biden. No, it's not what you think or what you may have heard in some other news outlets. We generally don't dabble in that kind of stuff here, at least not on this newscast. No, this is actually a lot more important because it may have to do with malfeasance, may have to do with corruption on the part of our former vice president. I want you to listen to what Mr. Biden said last year about getting a prosecutor in Ukraine fired.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here, and I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. I got fired.
He got fired. That's Joe Biden. Okay, so now Dana Bash decides, okay, that she is going to rewrite the hierarchy of the Department of Justice. And President Trump now is accused of going after a political opponent. Now, what is it now that Joe Biden is doing as President of the United States and his handlers are going after a declared candidate for President of the United States from an opposition party? And you have the DNC CNN running cover, okay, for this corruption that's emanated from the White House, from the executive branch of government, from the Office of the Presidency. The mission of the Department of Justice is to enforce the law and defend the interests of the United States according to the law, to ensure public safety against threats, foreign and domestic, unless, of course, they're the ones providing the threats and they're the ones that are doing the dishonest acts, to provide federal leadership and preventing controlling crime, to seek just punishment for those guilty of unlawful behavior. The DOJ is made up of 40 components, including the Drug Enforcement Agency, the FBI, the U.S. Marshals, the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Now listen to this. Okay? And maybe Dana Bash could listen to this part as well. because obviously she can't read unless it's on a teleprompter and she's instructed what to say. Okay, but this is on the government website. This is on the White House website. The next sentence says, the Attorney General is the head of the DOJ, enforcement officer of the federal government. The Attorney General represents the United States in legal matters, advises the president and the head heads of executive departments of the government, occasionally appears in person before the Supreme Court. Now, when Attorney John Lauro stated that the Biden administration's DOJ, he was absolutely right. He was absolutely correct. And for Dana Bash to correct him and to infuse her bias in order to cover for Joe Biden is reprehensible. Go listen to the 10 minutes, if you can stomach it, of the exchange between DNC, CNN, Dana Bash, of the State of Disunion, and she is interviewing President Trump's attorney, John Lauro. This goes to tell you how dishonest the left wing is, how dishonest the establishment is. And if you want any further proof about how dishonest the establishment is, I don't know if you heard this, but Bill Barr was on CNN as well over the weekend. And the DNC U.S. media is having orgasms, the fact that the establishment now is cranking out Bill Barr, former Attorney General for Donald Trump, for President Trump, and suddenly Bill Barr is his opinion is what matters. Why? Because he's bashing Trump. He's part of that establishment. So here's a 2-minute and 14-second exchange in his interview on DNC CNN. And I want you to listen very carefully to this, because if this is not telling about the corruption of the federal government, if this is not telling, I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on, but you need to listen to this objectively. It speaks volumes as to how the character assassination and the attempt to destroy Donald Trump is happening, and it's happening from within our government.
Everyone was telling him that the election was not stolen by fraud.
Do you think he knew that he lost the election?
Do I personally believe that?
Yeah, at first I wasn't sure, but I have come to believe that he knew well that he had lost the election.
And they're also saying that he was just exercising his First Amendment right here. Do you think that's a valid argument in your view?
No, I really don't think that's a valid argument because, you know, as the indictment says, you know, they're not attacking his First Amendment right. He can say whatever he wants. He can even lie. He can even tell people that the election was stolen when he knew better, but that does not protect you from entering into a conspiracy. All conspiracies involve speech, and all fraud involves speech. So free speech doesn't give you the right to engage in a fraudulent conspiracy.
The other thing that they're arguing, including John Lauro, Trump's new attorney, to me last night, was that they were simply asking the former Vice President Mike Pence to pause on the counting of votes. Mike Pence pushed back on that today, said that's not what they were asking him to do.
Let's be clear on this point. It wasn't just that they asked for a pause. The President specifically asked me, and his gaggle of crackpot lawyers asked me, to literally reject votes, which would have resulted in the issue being turned over to the House of Representatives, and literally chaos would have ensued.
What do you make of his supporters, his political supporters, giving him money to his campaign, and he then uses that for his legal fees and his co-defendants' legal fees?
Yeah, I find that sort of nauseating. I mean, this guy claims to be a multi-billionaire, and you know, he goes out and raises money from hardworking people, small donors, and tells them this is to defend America and to, you know, take care of the election. He didn't provide any significant support during the 22 elections. And a lot of this money seems to be going to his legal fees.
Okay. So there is the establishment deep state, Bill Barr. Now, did you get one of his comments at the beginning? Mr. Barr says it doesn't give you the right to engage in a fraudulent conspiracy when speaking about the First Amendment. You have the right to free speech. And I thought, isn't that interesting? What an interesting choice of words from the former Attorney General, who served basically as a career in government as well, a couple of different presidents. And think about that, okay? Free speech doesn't give you the right to engage in a fraudulent conspiracy. Now, for most people out there who understand the cover-up and the, well, let's just say the hit job that's been made against President Trump, do you recall a fraudulent conspiracy, one in which that was concocted and manufactured by Hillary Rodham Clinton? One that included Christopher Steele, one that included Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and Joe Biden. Where is Bill Barr? Okay, where was he talking about a fraudulent conspiracy, one that was grossly manufactured by Hillary Rodham Clinton? To what? To go against a political opponent. She already had been engaged in cheating in the 2016 Democrat presidential primary election, along with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, little Debbie. Where was Bill Barr condemning the fraudulent Russian collusion case, which, by the way, cost taxpayers, the U.S. tax, at least $50 million, $25 million plus with the Mueller report? And Mueller seemed to have a bout with his own conscience, and we've not heard from him again, have we? On page 2, when he stated that there was no sign of Donald Trump nor anyone in his campaign colluding with Russia. Why? Because it was a fraudulent case. Do you want any other proof that the deep state is intentionally trying to silence Donald J. Trump, including Bill Barr? Oh, well, Bill Barr says that he knows that Trump knew he lost. Bullshit. When there was voter irregularity coming out of the state of Pennsylvania, when there's voter irregularity coming out of the state of Arizona, coming out of the state of Georgia, there was a lot of questions that were there. But you know what? The deep state players, Bill Barr, Pence. Oh, how about Mike Pence? Oh, that soft-spoken Mike Pence. Oh, that fine Christian. Oh, a gaggle of crackpot lawyers is what Mike Pence stated, huh? And do you want any of the proof that Mike Pence and Chris Christie are in this presidential primary for one purpose and one purpose only? The deep state financing both of those presidential campaigns to attack Donald Trump? And don't give me this crap that Mike Pence is just what a Christian he is. Bull. He's a hard-nosed, evil man. And Bill Barr is doing the bidding for the establishment. And you know what? The DNC media, the U.S. DNC media is out there. They are going to make sure that they will get Trump one way or another. Bill Barr, to say what he did with regards to engage in a fraudulent conspiracy, the only thing was because he doesn't agree that there was any improprieties in the 2020 elections. You know, tell us how Joe Biden gets 81 million votes and he wins less counties in the United States. And how was it? 7 states had virtually stopped counting. And again, there's questions, and these questions are not answered immediately. Immediately, it's deflected as, oh, well, you're an election denier. Really? So was Al Gore an election denier? Was Dianne Feinstein, when she was of sound mind, an election denier, when she tried to hold up the 2004 Electoral College? Oh, well, I guess that's fine, right? Because that was a Democrat that was attacking a Republican. That was a left-winger going after the right wing. And suddenly, the improprieties against Donald Trump, all gloves are off with the establishment. They're privy to do anything they please in order to stop this man, who all he wants to do is return America back to a constitutional republic. And we all know how the left wing does not want that. We all know how the Uniparty does not want that. They want America to be a democracy so that the tyrannical government can control the American people. The tyrannical government can control the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. They will determine what speech is acceptable. Hell, Thomas Jefferson University is doing that right now. And they did it. Colleges and universities all around the United States determining what speech is acceptable. We have the U.S. government, led by the executive branch of government, who is deciding what speech is acceptable. Right? They had the board of the Ministry of Disinformation and Misinformation, two new words that came up all during the Biden-Harris regime. 930 days ago, disinformation and misinformation was created by the Marxist in the White House. Why? To discredit every conservative out there who dares to question the validity of the 2020 election. And you know what? They don't have to worry about the right wing, the conservatives questioning it, because they'll change the subject immediately. Yes. Hello, Annie. Southern Sense Talk Radio, 1 o'clock Friday afternoons on Blog Talk Radio. Great co-host, author Curtis Bennett. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. People are getting banned, including Annie got banned from YouTube. Why? Because the left wing didn't appreciate the truth. People getting banned and shadow banned on Twitter. Why? Exercising their right to free speech. How dare you question the China virus vaccine? How dare you question and call to question therapeutics that are successfully being used, not just in the United States, but abroad, to combat the China virus? Ivermectin being one of them? No, they would rather put you on remdesivir, and have you die on a ventilator because it was profitable for the hospitals. Yeah, yeah, we understand. And we understand the hit job that's being done on President Trump, the constant hit job. Now the state of Georgia is looking at charging President Trump under the RICO Act? Really? What do you call the actions by Joe Biden and the Biden crime family? What? Where is Dana Bash demanding answers as to why the mayor's wife of Moscow, Russia, gave Hunter Biden $3 million? Inquiring minds out there? Or are the left-wing minds brain dead? They're so controlled by the Democrat National Committee that they don't ask any questions. How is it little Debbie Wasserman Schultz is still in the U.S. House of Representatives? First of all, she was caught cheating in the 2016 Democrat presidential primary election. But that wasn't good enough. She's in bed with the Awan brothers, Iranian nationals who are gone. They had access to sensitive and top-secret information thanks to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, but they're nowhere to be found. No one has any inquiring minds. But let's talk about Donald Trump. Let's divert the attention away from Joe Biden and his illicit activities. And as Al talked about, his having top-secret and classified documents not in just one location, not in just two locations. How about seven different locations? In two of the locations that the communist Chinese have access to. Yeah, no one wants to talk about that. But let's talk about Donald Trump. Let's talk about how bad President Trump was. Gas prices are up 50 cents a gallon in 1 week. 50 cents a gallon because OPEC has extended the reduction in production. Why? Because Joe Biden and his anti-American handlers have stopped America's energy independence. And they sold America's soul and energy soul to the New World Orders, World Economic Forum, the useless nations, and the world governing body, making America dependent upon foreign sources of oil. Gas prices up 50 cents a gallon. And do you know what Biden's handlers sent out in a tweet today? Making it financially better for the middle class. That's Bidenomics. That's Biden bullshit. And no one pushes back. Not Dana Bash, okay? Not Mr. and Mrs. Scarborough. None of these people push back on these falsehoods, the campaign of disinformation and misinformation by Joe Biden and his handlers. No one's pushing back on the political attack against political opponents, such as Joe Biden going after his political opponent, Donald J. Trump. But let's change the subject, okay? Because Bill Barr, former attorney general, says, well, he thinks that Trump knew that he lost. Well, at some point in time, that's true, especially after the count has been rigged, especially after not one individual came up to his defense. It was okay for Dianne Feinstein to go out and challenge the 2004 presidential election. That's okay. You know, the senior corrupt staffer who is not of sound mind any longer, she can contest an election, and that's not an election denier. And the greatest election denier of all times, of course, is Al Gore, but he was too busy, you know, figuring out the internet and dealing with greenhouse gases. So back to Bill Barr. So why hasn't Bill Barr challenged the fraudulent conspiracy of the phony Russian collusion that was created and manufactured by Hillary Rodham Clinton, by Barack Hussein Totoro Obama, by Joe Biden, by Christopher Steele, by the Democrat National Committee, by the Uniparty? Why? Because he's part of the deep state. Why? It costs tens of millions of dollars to taxpayers for a fraudulent conspiracy. That is criminal. The Russian collusion narrative was false. It was manufactured. It was fraudulent. And shame on Bill Barr for showing how much of a deep state establishment partisan he truly is. Because he's not working for the betterment of the United States of America. He's contributing to the collusion that's going on in the U.S. government right now. And this collusion seeks to bury their political opponent. And that political opponent, we the people, that political opponent, Donald J. Trump. And I hope that that attorney, a British newscast, gets some action in the United States, because she, and I don't recall her name and I apologize, but she, Dr. something, was told it like it was. And apparently, with President Trump contesting these charges, he gets his day in court and he could start naming names. And he should. And, you know, I fear for President Trump's safety. I fear for his safety. Because the establishment, this organization, this Washington, D.C. syndicate is large. If they could take out a Cook, if they could take out Vince Foster, if they could take out Seth Rich, what would preclude them? Hell, we know that Vladimir Putin took out his political opponent. Right, Al?
Hey, Marxists of the feather, that's what they do. They transform and they kill. They kill their enemies. And they kill their friends when they're no longer useful.
That's correct.
Much historical precedent for that comment.
I'll tell you, when I heard Barr talk about a fraudulent conspiracy and then has not said a damn word about Russian collusion, that told me all I needed to know about Bill Barr. And I, you know, and what's said is at one point he was held in some esteem as a straight shooter, but no, he's just part of the same system. You know, he's one of the, as Boy says, he's a Bush boy. And that's correct. You know, the Bushes despise Donald Trump. And it's okay to attack their political opponents. It's okay to manufacture these charges, okay, and not address them, but only state that it's just it's just misinformation. Oh, really? Well, tell us about how is it that the state of Pennsylvania purged how many 170,000 people after the 2020 election? Furthermore, how is it that under the U.S. election laws, okay, the state legislature has the power to change the election, not the state Supreme Court. But no one talks about that. Only that Donald Trump this and Donald Trump that. And, you know, it's getting to the point now where at some point in time, someone's going to break. And, you know, but as you let these people, as you let the deep state uniparty speak, they show their hand, they show their hypocrisy, and they show their partisanship. And the uniparty is extremely partisan, and that's where Bill Barr now is, we know, is part of.
What's egregious about what he did is that he slow-rolled whatever investigations he was working on for years, and he just played out the clock. And like you said, he was the great hope. He was the last of the honest lawyers, a Trump loyalist, but he did nothing but betray.
Yeah, yep. Speaking of betraying, and then you got Mike Pence. Oh, a gaggle of crackpot lawyers. You know, oh, Mike Pence is so soft-spoken. He's such a religious man. He's such a Christian. Bull. Him and Chris Christie are in this race for one thing and one thing only, and that is the establishment is looking to attack Donald Trump. Give me what Chris Christie's policies are. Since entering the race, he's not said a damn thing about any policies. It's always been attacking President Trump. That's all he's done. And that's exactly what Pence has done. Who knows what Pence's policies are? And, you know, frankly, I don't care what Pence's policies are. He's a fraud.
So what do you think he's running for? What's he out to do? What type of damage?
He's out to attack. Listen, okay, twofold, okay? And I guess I left this part of it out. I believe that the only reason Mike Pence and Chris Christie are in the race is to attack Donald Trump, who is the front runner. And what that's designed to do is to allow Ron DeSantis to take the high road and talk about policy initiatives and not attack Donald Trump. So much so that at one point, a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, I believe it was, that DeSantis said we need to build a wall. Nobody attacked him, but he was adopting President Trump's policies. In the meantime, on the other side of the street, you had Chris Christie and Pence going after Trump. So I think this is a ploy by those that are on the establishment side, okay, that have decided that they're going to throw all the money they can at DeSantis, take back $50 million, and fund both Christie and Pence in order to attack Trump and allow DeSantis to take the high road. And look how presidential he is. That's, you know.
But I can't argue with that, and that is some dirty politics.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, let Tim Scott, Senator Scott, you know, let him run his own campaign, and he's done a very good job, and he certainly has proven that he could be, you know, vice president material. He's shown his loyalty to President Trump, not just in declaring presidency, but even before that, he's been very consistent. Of course, the left wing will despise that. You know, you call him an Uncle Tom, and it's okay for the left wing to engage you know, in racist epithets in order to attack Tim Scott, okay? And then suddenly, you know, all bets are off. But, you know, Scott has shown that he's a formidable individual who came from nothing and pulled himself up by the bootstraps. But again, I'm not going to get caught up, though, in getting that it's part of the establishment, the D.C. establishment, the D.C. syndicate. And that's exactly what we have in Washington, D.C. today. We have a syndicate. They're no different than the mafia. And when somebody steps outside, like the Trump does, of the mafia, you find ways to eliminate that individual. And they actually want Trump fatigue. It worked in 2020, and I know several people who were just tired of Trump. You know, they didn't look at the fact that the guy was being railroaded, but what they looked at was it was in the newspaper every day. Nasty Pelosi making things up. Nasty Pelosi showing how nasty she truly is, ripping up his speech. I mean, that was reprehensible. But nobody talked about, you know, Hillary Rodham Clinton and what she did and what she contributed as far as, you know, the Steele dossier, all manufactured, the fact that Obama and Biden were engaged in spying on citizen Trump, on candidate Trump, on President-elect Trump, and then President Trump. I mean, come on, man. You know, don't give us all this garbage in minutia, you know, as if you guys are holier than thou. And then we get nothing. We get absolute zero transparency from this regime. Nothing. No, we don't know anything about what happened at Martha's Vineyard and that cook died. Was he writing a book? Was he having an affair with an Obama daughter? Was an Obama daughter with him? Why was the Secret Service there? Joe Biden, it turns out that there was no Russian collusion with regards to the laptop. It really was Hunter Biden's laptop. So where is Joe Barr's outrage over the fact of a fraudulent conspiracy that was created and signed on by 51 members of the intelligence community? They fraudulently signed a letter that tampered with the 2020 elections concerning the Hunter Biden laptop. How Jim Hoft of Gateway Pundit was crucified about that laptop. And it turns out that the laptop was actually Hunter Biden's laptop, and the information on that laptop is absolutely real, and the media, the DNC-controlled media, is fixated on Donald Trump. We're talking about a level of corruption that pales in comparison to Watergate, a level of corruption by Joe Biden and the Biden crime family and the Democrat Party that pales in comparison to Watergate. Pales. Richard Nixon is a choir boy compared to what Joe Biden, the Democrat Party, has done. What Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama has done. I mean, it's unbelievable what we are witnessing today in 2023, in this information age, in this technology age, and perhaps the cheating that has gone on in fixing an election. Now, and dogs, I was using Tim Scott as an example, who doesn't talk about Trump, who doesn't talk about anything but policies, okay? And I think Scott's in this on his own, unlike Christie and unlike Pence, who are in it and financed and funded by individuals who have Pence and Christie in there specifically to attack Trump in order for Ron DeSantis to take the high road. No one's talking about Joe Biden's indiscretions, such as showering with an 11-year-old. And his daughter comes out with these revelations. Now, a woman can go out and accuse Donald Trump of sexual harassment, and the media goes crazy. The DNC media demands answers, right? And just look at the DNC media with the phony charges against the Supreme Court Justice I mean, this woman comes out after 32 years, can't corroborate any stories, but the media wants blood. They want to get Kavanaugh. They want to put him on a skewer. And now we have other revelations that come out about the Bidens, and the U.S. media led by the DNC goes deaf, dumb, and blind. But it's okay that 51 intelligence officials, okay, stated that there was Russian collusion. So Bill Barr, we're talking about 51 intelligence individuals who were engaged in a fraudulent conspiracy, who exercised their free speech, writing and speaking, such as, who is it, Clapper? And they were engaged in a fraudulent conspiracy. Why don't you call them out, Bill? Oh, I'm sorry. They're all part of the same establishment. They're all part of the Washington, D.C. syndicate. What was I thinking? Beto, you know, come on now. Come on, stop distracting like that. I mean, why would you think that Bill Barr would go after, you know, his fellow deep staters, his fellow Washington, D.C. syndicate, you know, another capo going after other capos, to use the mafia terms? Because that's what we're dealing with now. Heads of family and capos, all part of the same Washington, D.C. syndicate. In the meantime, the American people are paying dearly for these radical left-wing policies, these radical Marxist policies. They undid everything President Trump put in place, which shows you why, another reason why, they're scared of Trump, because he was successful in doing so, and he made it look easy. He made it look easy because America was energy independent. America was a leader. Follower. Okay? We weren't dependent upon foreign sources. Last week, Friday, I believe it was, Joe Biden and his handlers drained the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. They drained it by 355 million barrels. And they haven't replenished it. Again, a national security threat. A threat to our nation's security by an incompetent anti-American, Joe Biden, and his handlers. They did replenish 20 million barrels of oil to the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and guess who they bought that oil from? Russia. And we're sending money to Russia for oil. Then we're sending arms and we're sending money to Ukraine to fight Russia in a war. But we're making America dependent upon foreign sources of oil. And in the process, OPEC comes out and says we're going to cut 1 million barrels a day in production. And this past week, while Biden goes out on Twitter with his disinformation and misinformation about protecting the middle class and growing it from the middle class out and making the middle class financially strong, 50 cents a gallon for gas increase in 1 week. I just got my utility bill. 37% increase over last year. My wife said that was the second increase. She said the first increase was back in May. So how is this helping the middle class? It's all misinformation, disinformation, and distraction. And it's exactly what the left wing does well. It's exactly what the establishment is doing well. Just paint the picture of everything being rosy. It doesn't matter that your grocery prices are up 50%. It doesn't matter that we're paying, you know, 150% more for gasoline, and now it's on the rise again. That doesn't matter. Because Joe Biden said we're going to help grow the middle class and make them financially sound. Really? More and more people are facing the possibility of their savings being drained because the joker in the White House has signed on to the climate con game, the climate change con. Oh, yeah. So the DNC CNN interview with Dana Bash in the State of Disunion, I mean, the State of the Union, and then Bill Barr's interview on the DNC CNN with regards to his opinion stating that he believes that Trump knew he lost. Well, yeah, obviously in January 20th of 2021, at that point, it was over. It doesn't mean that there was no improprieties in the 2020 elections. But this is what the D.C. syndicate doesn't want to address. Rotten, evil bastards is what they are. And speaking of rotten, evil bastards, this story, Al, was from Bigfoot'sPlace.blogspot.com last Thursday. It was from the Washington, the Washington Free Beacon. One of my senators calls for Egyptian government to release a Muslim cleric who called for the murder of Israeli tourists. He also called for the obliteration of the United States of America. Now, I'm going to give a quick history of Global Patriot Radio. We were started back in 2009. It was a great idea by a great American, Big Al. And we were born, and we did our first show. It aired in September 12th of 2009. And there were several key issues that we were following at the time. And one of them was the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood, they wrote a mission statement called the Explanatory Memorandum. And for Americans out there who really don't know much about the Islamic movement, the Muslim Brotherhood has a hierarchy of organizations, including the North American Islamic Trust, NAIT. They have the CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Holy Land Foundation, all part of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Student Association, okay, that was back in 1923, and they were there to infiltrate colleges and universities around the country. And at the time, Al foresaw many things, and he was right. He was right. And one of the things, of course, America was attacked on 9/11/2001, and on like 9/13 of 2001, then President Bush came out and said that Islam means peace, and that's all the Muslim Brotherhood needed, okay, to take away from 19 Muslim men attacking the United States of America, funded by Saudi Arabia, attacking the World Trade Center, attacking the Pentagon, and then brave Americans taking down a plane that was meant for either the U.S. Capitol or the White House in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, led by Todd Bowman. The explanatory memorandum was found in a sub-basement in Annandale, Virginia. Apparently, there were individuals of the Islamic nature who were casing a bridge. And that led an investigation and the FBI to investigate. In their investigation, they went into a basement, and they found a sub-basement. And in that sub-basement, they found a treasure trove of information. And that treasure trove of information included what's called the explanatory memorandum. And this is a motivation and an objective in infiltrating and taking over the Western democracies, including the United States of America, and supplant our constitutional republic with the Sharia. That would be Islamic law. That isn't the battle plan outlined by the Muslim Brotherhood. Okay? So the explanatory memorandum was authored and created by the Muslim Brotherhood, and it reads as follows. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers, so it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. So eliminating and destroying America is a kind of grand jihad, and they need to have a willing accomplice, and that willing accomplice was certainly Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and fast forward to 2021, that willing accomplice is Joe Biden and his anti-American handlers. And the Muslim Brotherhood's objective, plant the U.S. Constitution with the Sharia. And that's what their objective is all across the Western civilization, and that is to supplant whether it's Austria or the UK or France, and incorporate and then make dominant the Sharia and make the infidels subservient to Islamic law. Now, there are several things that apply, and Al can speak to it better than I think, but there's something called, for lying and deceiving, there's something called dawa, and that's to deceive the individual, the infidel, taqiyya, tawriya, kitman, and maruna. Now, the best, let me go back to the article, okay, that is in bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. There is a U.S. senator by the name of Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland, a Democrat, and the Muslim Brotherhood has glommed on and latched to the Democrat Party. Why? Because they do share the same sentiment. They do share the same aim, and that aim is to destroy our constitutional republic, dismantle it. Okay? You want the softer version? The Democrats want to dismantle the U.S. Constitution, and that's what Barack Hussein's Satoru Obama's goal was and is. It still is because I believe he has his hands in controlling Joe Biden because Joe Biden is not mentally fit to do it by himself. Democrat senator lobbies Egypt to free cleric who called for murder of Israeli terrorists. All in the family. Salah Sultan's daughter-in-law is Senator Ben Cardin's legislative aide. She is married to Sultan's son, a Democrat donor who has spent years lobbying for his release. Senator Ben Cardin is asking the Egyptian government to release a Muslim cleric who called for the murder of Israeli tourists. Now, wouldn't you think that would be kind of anti-Semitic, right? You have an Islamic cleric who's calling for the death of Israelis, Jews. The daughter-in-law of the imprisoned religious leader, who apologized in a letter this month for his calls to violence and history of anti-Semitic statements, also happens to work on the senator's staff. Son of a gun. What was the explanatory memorandum stating? The equal must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating, destroying the Western civilization from within? From within? From within a United States senator's office? But you know what's even better about Senator Ben Cardin? Senator Ben Cardin also serves as the special representative for anti-Semitism to the Organization of Security and Cooperation in Europe. Holy cannoli. You want to start connecting the dots? Since 2009, it's been clear that the Democrat Party has aligned itself with the Muslim Brotherhood, and their plan of action is clear. It is to destroy America from within. That's the Democrat Party principle. It's the Muslim Brotherhood principle. And it became quite apparent in the last 930 days, the Democrat Party, including the Uniparty, the aim is to destroy America from within. And once again, a Democrat member of Congress, a U.S. senator, validates that destruction. And to make matters worse, the Democrat member of Congress is also using the Muslim Brotherhood to continue to aid and abet the undermining of our constitutional republic, undermining anti-Semitism. Oh, and by the way, Senator Cardin also serves as the special representative for anti-Semitism to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. The Democrat senators are calling on Egypt to release the elderly Muslim Brotherhood senior leader, Salah Sultan, a U.S. green card holder. It also has come after years of lobbying and Democrat political donations by Sultan's son, Mohammed, who is married to Cardin's legislative aide, Habiba Shibita. She's working within the government. She's working within the United States Senate. And she's helped possibly compromise Senator Ben Cardin. Oh, and she's written a letter. She, Habiba Shibita, writes the letter that states that he didn't mean it. He apologizes for calling for the death of Israeli tourists. He apologizes for calling for the obliteration of the United States of America. Well, son of a gun. You know what? let's follow the money for a second here as well. The post comes months after Sultan's son Mohammed Salah donated $5,800 to Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Robert Menendez of New Jersey, Democrat New Jersey. Last year, Mohammed also gave at least $10,000 to Joe Biden's presidential campaign in 2020. Son of a bitch. And $5,800 to Representative Don Beyer, Democrat from Virginia. I wonder if that's by the Fairfax, Virginia area. In 2021, Beyer in May tweeted that the cleric should have never been in prison to begin with, but the conditions he faces, including denial of essential health care, are now threatening his life. Really, he's a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. He is a Muslim cleric who believes in the Sharia. The Muslim Brotherhood also has their hands in Hamas. Hamas seeks for the destruction of Israel. Sultan called for the killing of Israelis. Sultan has called for the obliteration of the United States of America. Sultan has issued a fatwa, and that fatwa is in infinitum. No one talks about that. But you know what? It's okay because Sultan's daughter, Hana, gave $47,000 to Biden's campaign and $18,600 to the Democrat National Committee in 2020, according to campaign finance records. So if you can't beat them, you buy them. This is how corrupt the Muslim Brotherhood is. This is how corrupt U.S. senators are in excusing anti-Semitism, in excusing Islamic extremism, Islamic terrorism, jihad. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. Oh, by the way, the Muslim Brotherhood, okay, they are of the Wahhabi. They are of the laws that are written in Reliance of the Traveler, Umnat Salik. And if you turn to page 599 of Reliance of the Traveler, this is Islamic law. Jihad. Jihad is defined. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. That's the definition of jihad. This is what the Muslim Brotherhood adheres to. They have the same belief system of this law, of this Sharia. And we're now to believe that Muslim cleric Sultan suddenly has found humility and denounces the Quran. He denounces Umdat Salik. It doesn't happen, folks. It doesn't happen. The fact is that Sultan's family is contributing handsomely to the Democrat Party. It's contributing handsomely to key Democrat senators like the corrupt Robert Menendez, like the corrupt Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. Follow the money. It's okay for Muslim cleric Sultan to call for the killing of Israelis and the annihilation of America. And somehow Senator Cardin is not outraged by this? Why? Because he has Sultan's daughter-in-law working for him? And she writes a letter that states that all should be forgiven because Muslim cleric Sultan, he regrets his – no, he doesn't. It's called Dawa. It's called Marana. Marana is the best because it's designed to deceive infidels. One last note about Marana. At times, Muslim practice Marana in the same way a chameleon changes colors to avoid detection. Muslims will sometimes shave off their beards, wear Western clothing, or even drink alcohol to blend in with non-Muslims. Nothing is more valuable these days to the Islamists than a blue-eyed Caucasian Muslim willing to engage in terrorism. All you need to know about Marana. Muslims practice Marana in the same way a chameleon changes colors to avoid detection. And it's exactly what Muslim cleric Sultan wants you to believe. and shame on Senator Cardin. Oh, and by the way, one other note, Senator Cardin declines to discuss this. Is that a shocker, folks? Are you shocked at the fact that a Democrat once again goes deaf, dumb, and mute? There's nothing transparent about our government any longer. And as far as we're concerned, I'm concerned, Muslim cleric Sultai can remain in an Egyptian prison. Because as a Muslim cleric, he is a fundamental and devout Muslim. And that means he despises Jews. That means that he believes that infidels should be subservient to the Muslim. There's nothing contrite about the guy. So don't buy it. And then follow the money. Al?
Well, I tell you, the greatest lie, and great rant, by the way, Pfizer, the drug company Pfizer, speaking of COVID, they're now saying that nobody was forced to have a vaccine. An Australian Pfizer official last week tried to claim no one was forced to take the COVID-19 injections, instead saying people were, quote, offered an opportunity to take the shots. Pfizer's head of regulatory sciences, Dr. Brian Hewitt, made the comments during an Australian Senate Education and Employment Legislation Committee hearing. Dr. Hewitt and his colleagues, they were hauled before the committee last week as part of an ongoing COVID-19 inquiry and were subjected to questioning by several senators. So they're trying to gaslight. This will be coming. This is the shot across the bow. This is in Australia. Things are pretty bad over there, but they're saying nobody was forced to have a vaccine. So that means troubles of myocarditis and all the other health issues associated with the COVID shot are it's becoming so big that they can't contain it anymore. So rather than finding it, because they don't have to worry about liability exposure, because Pfizer, at least in the United States, was granted a liability waiver that they would not face any persecution for getting this vaccine out into the public. So now they're saying that they're lying to you. I mean, we're talking about a bold-faced lie. I've never even saw this coming. Because now they're saying that nobody was forced to have a vaccine. You know, we very well know that in the military, if you didn't take the vaccine, you were drummed out with a less than honorable discharge. In many people's businesses, if you didn't get the vaccine, you were fired. In the medical industry, if you were a doctor and nurses and you didn't get the vaccine, you were fired. If you were a patient in the hospital and you wanted alternative treatments, they were denying it. In business world, the CDC put out guidelines that if you didn't get the vaccine, that a business could fire you. So in other words, businesses were compelled to fire their employees for not getting the vaccine based on CDC guidelines.
And you wonder why you're sitting in an airport, let's say, in Denver for a connecting flight, and your flight gets canceled because there's no pilots. I believe airlines were firing pilots who refused to get the jab. Oh my God!
Oh,
false statement.
And I forgot to travel. You had to show your vaccination card before you could hop on a plane to go anywhere.
Or on a cruise, too. You couldn't go on a cruise without being vaccinated.
That's right. You couldn't go visit a loved one in a hospital unless you had a vaccine card.
Oh, my God. The blatant lie. I mean, that is a flat. And there were some videos that were coming out of Australia where they were holding kids down, children, to get the jab. Because it was mandatory in order to go to school. Kids screaming. Oh my goodness gracious! Wow, that's ballsy. Yeah. That takes a lot of balls. Yeah.
So as world leaders are claiming that no mandate existed, at least in Australia, because they're trying to get themselves undone, Pfizer saw an opportunity and jumped right on it.
Wow. That's pretty good, huh? I mean, there's no consequences for their actions.
None at all. And a lot of people died. A lot of people died, not only from the vaccine, but also from remdesivir. There was part of the CDC protocols where if you were in the hospital, they would not allow you to take any of the other prophylactics like ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or any of these other alternatives that were safe. You were on a strict remdesivir CDC guideline treatment. And this remdesivir, it was Dr. Fauci's invention, and it killed a lot of people. A lot of gays who had AIDS were mandatory remdesivir patients, and they had a high death rate to where they removed it, and now they did it again with COVID.
Oh, my God. And Boyd, there's another thing about going into the hospital. You couldn't go into the hospital or show proof you had the COVID shot, and then nursing homes too. You couldn't go see a loved one in a nursing home unless you had some sort of vaccination card to prove that you were vaccinated. Oh, my God.
That's called gaslighting. That is the definition of gaslighting.
Oh, my God. Oh, where could the duping continues, and oh my goodness gracious, that is just wow.
It's mind blowing. So they're flying they're testing the balloon in Australia to see how it flies, and have to see. It'll probably come here to America because I could see these same world leaders backing that claim.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, we have the chimpanzee Joe Biden who will jump on that quickly and say, "Oh, I never said that," or we've never required this, you know, vaccine. I could see it. I mean, as unprincipled as Joe Biden is, the Constitution means nothing, and lying is very easy for Joe. He's the wicked man. Yeah, I'm just reading it. There's another story really quick that popped out today in Gateway Pundit. Biden mulls executive order end run of the Second Amendment as House Dems push 1,000% excise tax on assault weapons, high-capacity mags. So they have utter and total contempt for the U.S. Constitution, the Second Amendment. And you're looking at the dictator-in-chief, okay, the tyrannical Joe Biden using an executive order to do an end around of the U.S. Constitution, thereby abridging Americans the right to bear arms. And this is what this is what tyranny does. This is what tyrannical leaders do. They'll lie, cheat, and steal, and be prepared, as Al said about COVID and Pfizer. We're going to get a new narrative now that the dust is settling. Yet you were never required to have the jab, okay? Sure. You tell the people that have lost their jobs about it, who refused to get the jab, including servicemen and women who declined to get the jab, including pilots who decided they weren't going to get the jab. Lying crap, pieces of crap.
Lies everywhere.
Wow. Oh my God! But they're emboldened, you know. They believe that they're in charge, and they can do anything they please, including going after political opponents, as they're doing with President Trump. They believe in anything and everything that they do is for their benefit, and they will reap the rewards from it. And you and me, we the people, will remain subservient to the government. That's why they're threatened by Trump. Trump's appeal is not decreased, it's increased, and they're doing anything and everything, including the DNC media going out there and trying to lie, cheat, and steal their way around, as Dana Bash showed, as Bill Barr showed, but that's all that, you know, the establishment does. Wow. So this is a quick 2 hours. So, wow. I want to thank everybody for being here. Tomorrow night, oh, sorry, Wednesday night, we got Hank Jones and Poly Sports at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Oh, man, that's terrible. That song is awful. I don't know if it's playing really bad. Okay. How about this one? We'll try this one. See if that works better. There we go. Nope. Is it bad on your
BTR,
end?
BTR sucks. Yeah.
So, Saturday is Simon Dachnek and the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the Beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. Check out their show, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Monday, Alan, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hopefully, Eric will be back from Shapiro's Stand with his interfaith dialogue, The Crossing the Crescent, on Sundays. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio. Check out Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Friday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern Time with our great co-host, author Curtis Bennett, from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. She's got some great guests. Check her show out. If you want an apolitical show, check out the Simone Nicole Show at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com. Joshua has a great self-help show. It's some great information and a great way to diet, exercise, and take supplements. Stay active. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings. Go to AudreyRusso.com. Audrey's got a great co-host as well, Mr. P. Great rants. Joe Gibson, Tuesdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Restoring Our Republic. And check out RZ show. He is on Saturdays on Spreaker.com. Great show as well. And I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com and check out his Blogspot. Also, Ducky Northwest, Southern Sense, Annie, good to see you. And we've got Bringing On Boy was in the house, as was Golf Dogs. And we had a pretty good house in there. And Sue from New Mexico, keep her in your thoughts and prayers. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll have a great week, and we'll see you next Monday.
Yes, you all have a great week, and be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings, and we'll go out with
various shots that people are getting now. Cover that. You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Somebody gotta do it. Hey, let's go Brandon. I keep a drum like I'm Nick Cannon. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. Pandemic ain't real, they just planted. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. When you ask questions, they start banning. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. I keep a drum like I'm Nick Cannon. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. Pandemic ain't real, they just planted. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. You ask questions, they start banning. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. Let's go Brandon. Hey, hey. Biden said the jab about to spread, it was lies.
I remember
how you wrote, but you haven't opened your eyes. These politicians are demons just in disguise.
Dang.
Look at Kyrie Irving and Nicki Minaj. Look at Australia, that's what's coming next. We don't stand up. Stop complying with them, picking our rights, it's time to man up. Republicans voting for red back laws, that's just what I can't trust. If you ask what's about the facts, then they gonna ban us. Hey, this is about control.
I had to put that Let's Go Brandon in there because that beginning is perfect with regards to COVID. I mean, his own words. If you get the vaccine, you get a shot, you're not going to get COVID, which was absolute horseshit.
Yeah. The beginning was good. The rap after that, not so good.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, take it and you won't get sick. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yep, and it bought that hook, line, and sinker. Take it, and you won't get COVID.
I
Nobody
forbid
questioned
if you
it
didn't.
Either.
Nope, and then it became the pandemic of the unvaccinated. To isolate and destroy those who would not comply.
And didn't they, though? I mean, Biden made the whole campaign that it's your fault, the unvaccinated. I mean, I'm going to find some clips, and we'll have it for next week. with Biden stating that very thing, blaming the unvaccinated for the spread of COVID. I mean, that's just how shameless these people are.
Yeah, that's what made this Australian story so interesting.
Wow, what a good find, Al. I mean, that was holy crap. Man, that came out of left field, too. Holy shit.
Yeah, I never saw it coming.
Damn, my goodness gracious. I'll tell you. Man, the campaign won. The initial campaign was to demonize each and every individual who did not get vaccinated, and then to sell it as if, you know, you won't get COVID, which was absolutely false. And now Pfizer's coming out and saying they made their billions, tens of billions of dollars, and they're saying that you weren't required to get it, the jab. Are you kidding? That's a flat-out lie.
Yeah, and it's easy to document and show. So hopefully that'll be front and center for ads in the 2024 campaign.
Ah, but wait a minute. Maybe could it be that Pfizer is making a statement that they, Pfizer, never made it mandatory to get the jab, and therefore putting the onus back on the government?
Yeah, and the governments will go along with it too, I think, because they'll say, look, we didn't go in with the police and hold people down and force them to take the shot. It was voluntary. We provided it if people wanted it, and they will say that. MSNBC will cover it diligently. Fox will probably cover it word for word, and they'll pull the wool. People are sheep. We saw it.
Man. Holy crap. Wow. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. It truly is unbelievable what we are witnessing today. Well, my phone's about to die. So.
Fine. Well, hopefully BTR will have this fixed by next week. But we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. I'll try another. Maybe I'll get it. I'll try to juice up another laptop and see if that works for next week. But okay. Sounds good, man.
All right. Well, have a great week. And talk to you soon.
Sounds like a winner.
All right. Hit him straight.
You too, man. Congrats on that round. Very nice round, 77. Way to go, man.
All right. Thank you. You too on that 72. Very nice.
It's all right. All right, talk to you later.
All right.
Bye. Ciao.